Thank you for the introduction. My name is Katrina Ellis, and the title of my presentation is Health Information in African American Men, Barriers and Facilitators to Behavior Change. Neither myself or the co-authors have any relationships to disclose. During my time today, I will discuss how African American men in our study obtained, processed, and utilized health information. The findings that I will present emerged from a qualitative study on African American men's eating behavior and physical activity, and I will also describe conceptual and practical implications of this research. Obtaining, processing, and understanding basic health information are critical aspects of health literacy, or one's capacity to make appropriate decisions about health, including behavior change. But according to a report by the Institute of Medicine, almost 90% of adults have difficulty using everyday health information that is available to them in healthcare facilities, in their communities, and through the media. While medical professionals are a common source of health information, we know that people make decisions about their health based on information obtained from both medical and non-medical sources. Many of the chronic diseases that disproportionately affect African American men can be prevented or ameliorated by maintaining a healthy diet or engaging in regular physical activity. However, few studies have examined where African American men obtain health information about these behaviors and how they use this information to guide their health practices. Thus, our research questions were as follows. Where do African American men get health information? How do they evaluate the sources of information? How do the men use the information once it has been received? And then lastly, what are the factors that influence men's use of information for behavior change? The data used in this presentation comes from the Men for Health study. The goal of Men for Health is to develop an intervention that addresses individual and social barriers to healthy eating and physical activity among African American men, middle-aged and older. At the beginning of this study, focus groups were conducted with African American men and with African American women who play key roles in the lives of African American men. This analysis, however, only uses data from the focus groups with men. In total, 18 focus groups were conducted. The data was collected between July 2008 and March 2010 in three cities in southeastern Michigan. The participants were recruited via snowball sampling methods, and they were provided with incentives for their participation. This table provides selected characteristics of the participants. We collected data from 154 African American men. The average age was 55 years old with a range of 32 to 82 years old. A little less than one quarter of the men were college graduates. With regards to health, 37% of the men were obese and a little over one quarter reported being in poor or fair health. Three-fourths of the men had at least one chronic health problem. In order to analyze our data, the focus group's recording were transcribed verbatim, and then the text was entered into a qualitative software data package. The data was then organized into independently meaningful units, and then we developed a code book to code that data. The units were then combined into a consolidated document and reviewed to find key themes. So the data used in this analysis came from the code Sources of Health Information. The data summarized under this code included texts in which men talked about seeking or having found health information, the strategies that they used to find that information, and where they thought they should be able to find information but were not able to do so. Five distinct themes emerged. First, some information was used for awareness. Trust was a key factor in this area. Second, information also served to reinforce men's knowledge about health as well as their values and beliefs. And then finally, information obtained was also a motivating factor. This included motivation to adopt new behaviors, to maintain existing behaviors, and to modify health behaviors. Thus, information provided to the men was found to serve a variety of important health-related purposes. The sources of information reported by the men can be categorized into four main areas: media, medical professionals, social networking, community resources. Media sources included television, videos, books, radio, the internet, and magazines, but primarily the men talked about getting information from television. When they discussed medical professionals, they mostly talked about doctors. Members of the social network that provided information included family, friends, peers, and people at their church. And then finally, community resources is a broad category that includes information obtained from work as well as food, nutrition, fact information. Men reported that information increased their awareness of health-related issues. For example, one man stated, "I've seen guys, especially on TV, in their 80s and 90s exercising. I think it's been a cultural thing that as men we think as we get older that we're supposed to slow down. We learn that information sometimes challenges men's health perceptions and their perceived norms. Other men also discuss using television to gain information about things like diabetes prevention or African American men's health in general." The theme of trust emerged in discussions of receiving health information for awareness, as some sources were more trusted than others. Health information received through the media was not always trusted. One man talked about how he found that statistics comparing the health of black and white men were often misleading. Men's trust in doctors varied, however, family members were a very trusted source. Overall, having trust in the source increased acceptance of information for awareness purposes. Another key theme that emerged from our analysis was that information often reinforced knowledge that men already held about health and at times reinforced their values and beliefs. For example, exercise is beneficial and rewarding, but a lot of times I dread exercising, but I still do it anyway because of the benefits. My doctor told me once that when you get on the treadmill or move for a while, it releases a natural euphoria, and a lot of times after I finish exercising, I feel so good. Our analysis revealed that information sometimes strengthens men's commitment to engage in healthy behaviors, and this is particularly true for physical activity. Information that reaffirmed men's knowledge that physical activity could help them to reduce their stress was particularly useful. Before discussing the role of information as motivation, it's important to note that many men in the focus groups already held a lot of health information, but they did not always use this information to improve their health. But a number of them did, and I'm going to discuss those findings next. Men discussed starting a behavior or trying something totally new after receiving health information. Men were often motivated to put information to use, such as recommendations from their doctors, in order to prevent health problems or to address an existing health problem. For example, "It's hard to get up early and go work out. I did it when I had a scare. When the doctor scared me, I did it. But as soon as the scare was over, I stayed in bed." So while health problems may motivate men to follow information about exercising or eating healthy, as this quote demonstrates, men may not continue these behaviors over time. In order to do so, they may need additional or different types of health information. For example, one gentleman stated, "I have diabetes, and when you go in for testing, they always tell you that you need to work out. If I don't take care of myself, I could have an amputation or kidney failure, so that alone pushed me into exercising and making that a part of my life." This gentleman discussed how information from health professionals not only helped him to start exercising, but their consistent provision of information about the importance of exercise helped him to maintain that behavior over time. Other men also reported seeking out and receiving information that encouraged them to maintain healthy behaviors. Similarly, they also did so because they wanted to avoid health problems or complications from current conditions. Men also discussed wanting to remain healthy for the sake of their families. And finally, for the third motivation-related theme, some men discuss using information to modify their current behaviors. For these men, social support seemed very useful to do so. For example, men who were working on improving their diets talked about the assistance of their wives helped them to make more modifications. So in summary, the data analyzed in this study demonstrated that men use information for a variety of important health-related purposes. Information sometimes increased their awareness of health-related issues. At other times, it reinforced their knowledge, values, or beliefs. And then sometimes it motivated them to engage in healthier behaviors. There are a number of implications for practice. First, it's important to understand where men get health information and to assess the stress levels that they have and the sources of information. This is particularly useful when thinking about helping to raise men's knowledge about general health-related issues. While health problems were a common motivating factor for use, social support was very critical. And then lastly, emerging research on African American men and health behavior highlights the fact that barriers to information use are both individual and contextual. There's a need for more information that helps men to effectively negotiate the social and environmental context of their behaviors. So while it's important to provide information that's factual, men may need help with information that also helps them to enact these behaviors in different contexts. I would like to acknowledge the work of our advisory team members, the Center on Men's Health Disparities team, and our funders, the American Cancer Society, the Michigan Center for Urban African American Aging Research, and the U of M Comprehensive Cancer Center. Thank you for your attention.
We'll take three quick questions.
What do you think some of the solutions for integrating those behavioral changes into men's lives? What are some of the assistance that we can possibly help men to have to make those changes?
So the question is, how do we provide assistance to help men make changes and incorporate the behaviors into their lives? So I think one of the things that I've been reading about is the fact that perhaps we should think about ways to tailor information better to where the men are, not just trying to provide information to all, but trying to figure out where they're at in their adoption of the behaviors. Have they tried the behaviors before? What specific barriers do they address? I think as much as we can tailor to the individual man's situation and the context that may be providing him with more barriers or even more support will be useful. For example, sometimes men may have trouble engaging in healthy behaviors when they're around peers who expect, you know, things to be eaten a certain way or to eat a lot of food or that type of thing. So helping them to negotiate these things in different contexts seems to be very useful.
Two more questions.
So the question is, did men use social media to get health information? And no, the internet itself was not mentioned very often. One of the limitations of this study is that there wasn't a specific question that asked about source of health information. We just noted that there was a lot of this talk in the general discussions, and so we did this analysis. Perhaps if we would have asked that, more specific questions about where do you get health information, that would have come out, but the internet didn't come up very often, and there was no discussion of social media.
Last question.
It wasn't a question, more of a comment. Maybe the question is here. I was a little surprised to see that the men tend to gravitate to media for more information. Mm-hmm. I have worked with a couple of community projects to try to reach my brothers, because you guys are tough about taking care of yourself. It's really tough. So the committee I worked with on African American Health felt that we needed to go where you hang out and go to where you can see peers, and we talk to all of you as a group. And then at peer pressure would work, we went to barbershops. And we did a lot of things in barbershops and teaching about healthy living and hypertension control and the whole nine yards. It took about 9 months for a little bit of light to come on for some people, but they were able to adapt that, you know, the ideas and the things were the same. So, you know, the media maybe, research has shown that the media does so, but sometimes just getting to when you're with your, we can't get in the locker room, you know, but when you do some of that locker room talk, get with your peers, and you don't have to be all that with your buddies.
Right, and I hope I didn't overemphasize the media. They did talk about a variety of sources, but within that media category, they primarily talked about the television. So, thank you.